The words that are spoken, Lord, are mine. May the words that are heard be thine. Amen. St. Cross, in these past few months, I have been utterly amazed by what a loving church this is. In your gentleness and generosity, you have not only been an inspiration, you have also shined as a brilliant example of a devoted and faithful community of which I am joyful and grateful to now be a part of. As many of you have shared with me, allow me to share little bits of my life with you. Every evening at bedtime, James, my 4-year-old son, recites a prayer to Melissa and I as we attempt to settle him down. The prayer always culminates to his belting out, "Peace be upon you," with our response to him being, of course, "And also with you." I was very much hoping you would do that. And then finally, a collective, "Amen." And then after a lot of wiggling around, my son falls in a deep and peaceful sleep with the knowledge that he is forever loved. And it was with this childhood innocence that I wish to explore with you today the peace. If you would take a moment to envision a loving mother or father comforting their baby, how an infant, when cherished and loved, thrives and displays a curiosity for all that surrounds them. Think of the inner peace the child feels being held, knowing that they're safe, and that feeling themselves adored. In healthy relationships, that love never diminishes as the child is prepared to meet the challenges of the world. The parent does not promise the child that there won't be moments of sadness, scuffed knees, of anger, or even loss. Instead, the parent gazes upon their child and instills within them an unwavering faith that whatever shall come, they shall always be the parent's beloved. Ideally, the presence of the parent's love remains with the child wherever she or he bravely goes, remaining with them even after the parent has passed from this world into the next. Now envision a child that has not been the recipient of love and adoration. Or perhaps a child whose world and understanding of safety and love was torn away by acts of abuse and violence. A child who should have been held and comforted, instead embattled with fear and isolation. A child who knows no peace. Ask anyone who has worked with children, and they will tell you a small child who views himself as unloved, unsafe, and alone, that child will have difficulty thriving and will most likely be ill-equipped to meet the challenges of this often daunting and hostile world. That child, having not known a caregiver and after such bitter betrayal, why shouldn't such a child be skeptical of anything placed before them? With this contrast, let's attempt to grasp the intensity of today's gospel reading. Imagine all that occurred leading up to that fateful meeting of the disciples behind the barred door. Yes, before this time, Jesus tells them, "So with you, now's your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." But I ask all of you, how could these words possibly prepare these mere men and women for the world that they would soon encounter? What could prepare them to have one of their own betray Jesus, and yet another deny Jesus 3 times in moments of desperation and fear? Having journeyed with Jesus since the beginning, having firsthand felt his presence, having experienced his teaching and bared witness to miracles, just imagine believing all that you encountered with Jesus and of Jesus and through Jesus, then being confronted by the image of his torture, of his being demeaned, and his eventual crucifixion. Who wouldn't wonder how and why this all had occurred? Why their blossoming understanding of God, life, love, and faith had been torn away by hatred and violence? Like the betrayed child, why has their world of hope become embattled and entrenched in fear and isolation. Why must they shelter now behind this door, seemingly the only thing separating them from a now treacherous world? Oh, they must have asked, why has God forsaken us and allowed this to be? After these terrible moments, who wouldn't be skeptical of whatever was set before them? Even as Mary discovers the tomb empty, who wouldn't question everything after experiencing this oppressive loss of all they have come to love and understand? Who wouldn't have stubbornly grasped by the uncertainty of Thomas, adhering to the cruelty of the observed world, rather than the teachings that came before? But then we encounter Jesus' merciful gift, his presence. Jesus once again stands before the disciples, and his presence will remain with them wherever they may go and with whomever they may encounter. The presence of the risen Lord casts away all doubts, a presence that not only validates the forgiveness of sin, but forever provides an inner peace, a presence like that of a loving parent continually embracing their precious child in preparation for this world and something far greater beyond. And with a parent's kindness, by Jesus showing Thomas the still present wounds, Jesus shows a tender compassion to our doubt, not rebuke. Doubt, a uniquely human declaration that something wondrous is possible, while simultaneously questioning if it's attainable. Doubt proves not symbolic of one's lack of faith or piety. Instead, doubt, when resolved, is an instrument by which one strengthens and emboldens their faith. And in this moment, doubt was forever resolved. Always exemplifying the good parent, Jesus does not make assurances to any of the disciples that they will not suffer or experience tragedy or loss. By his sacrifice, Jesus vividly personifies his understanding of suffering. All but one of the 12 disciples will experience violent passings, but in his gift of his loving presence, he forever reassures them that in each and in turn in each of us of a peace far beyond the trappings and offerings of this world. In this loving presence, Jesus instills for time eternal an unwavering declaration that no matter what shall come, we shall always be God's beloved. With their doubts and fears resolved, Jesus tasks the disciples to give testimony to the world. He repeatedly calls for peace upon his loved disciples, then proclaims to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. You and I are forever connected to this moment. Our doubts, our fears, our sufferings, all understood and all overcome within Jesus. We prove to be the blessed who have not seen and yet come to believe. With this gift, with this lasting presence of a loving Lord, we too, like the disciples, are tasked. As with last week's proclamations of promise at the baptism of new life, we are forever bonded in an unwavering duty to ensure all God's children are instilled with the unshakable faith that whatever shall come, that all know that they are cherished and always God's beloved. As we are forever held in the loving embrace of the Lord, may this inner peace always champion the trappings and tribulations of this world. My siblings in Christ, may the Lord's peace reign within you, now and always. Amen.